Well, I thank the Lord this morning for the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. I couldn't imagine living life without the Comforter. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, man. He comforts us. Sometimes, man, we find ourselves in a place where we just need some comfort, man, and the Holy Ghost of God does that for us. He constrains us, man. There's been times in my Christian life where I've wanted to do some things, and man, it's as if the Holy Ghost kind of went and kind of said, "No, you better not do that." Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He confirms some things, you know. I've been preaching a few times, man, and the Holy Ghost say, "That's right, man, just preach on." So thank God for the Spirit of God. I'm not going to say anything that you've never heard this morning. I just want to try to remind you of some simple Bible truths. The Bible said to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And I'm just a young man. I've not been in this thing very long, so I know this morning that I'm not going to tell you something that's really going to catch your attention, but I trust that God the Holy Ghost will speak to your heart just through some old scriptures and maybe jar your mind and encourage you this morning. You'll find your text, 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I want to say thanks to Brother Jim and Brother Mike and the men that has showed us the hospitality these past few days. I tell you, I've had a good time. It's encouraged me and Troy. We've had a good time just cutting up and spending some time together. And I've got some much-needed rest, and I want to thank you for the opportunity, men, for being able to stand this morning. Here in 1 Samuel 17, we all know the story of David and Goliath. I mean, it's nothing new. I was preaching along these lines a couple weeks ago to Jubilee, and I'd made friends with a young boy, 8 or 10 years old, back there in the pew, waiting on my time to come preach. And he said, "What you preaching on?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, son. I'm thinking about maybe talking about David and Goliath." He says, "Man, everybody's heard about David and Goliath. Ain't you got something else?" So I know we've heard this story, but I just want to mention a few things this morning. We'll read a few verses here. Verse number one, the Bible said, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shokah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shokah and Azekah and Ephes-Damin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and they set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits. And a span." Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for another day you've given us. Thank you for life and the strength and the good health you've given us to get up out of bed today. Thank you for the opportunity to fellowship with like believers. Lord, I pray this morning that God, you'd use the Word of God to encourage these men, Lord, as they go back home and, Lord, face the things that are before them. I pray, God, today that, Lord, you would strengthen them and help them. I pray you'd help me, Lord, this morning. I ask you for liberty. Lord, I pray for clarity of mind, clarity of thought. Lord, I pray for the next little bit, you'd bind the powers of hell. I pray there'd be no distractions. And I pray that, God, we could relay this simple thought, Lord, in an understanding way. And I pray these men could apply it to their life. And, Lord, you'd strengthen us. Lord, we need your help this morning. Lord, I admit and I acknowledge that I can't do this unless you help me. So, Lord, I pray this morning that, God, you'd do that and help us, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here in the opening few verses of chapter number 17 that Israel is on a mountaintop. And they look across the way there, and they see the enemy on the other mountaintop. And, man, there's much that could be said in the Word of God about mountaintop experiences. Man, I just want to stop and say thank God for the mountaintops that I've had in my Christian life. And I would imagine we could all gather around a fire pit this afternoon and we could brag and testify, man, about the times that God has led us up out of the valley onto a mountaintop, man. And we could testify about the goodness of God and the things we've seen up on those mountaintops. But the reality in your Christian life, man, and I'm not telling you something that you couldn't, man, tell me all about this morning. The reality of a mountaintop is on the other side of that mountaintop there's a valley. And here in this morning in our text, we see David and those men, they're up on that mountaintop, but just before them is a valley. And we read here that Goliath from Gath comes out, one of the Philistines, and he's off down in that valley, man, and he's begging for a fight. And I wonder this morning, men, what's in your valley today? Maybe you're on a mountaintop right now, man, but I mean off in the distance, man, you already see some things brewing up. Maybe you've come into this fellowship, man, and you've already been off in the valley and you've stepped aside for a minute. What's in your valley this morning? Can I say this morning by way of introduction a few things about this conflict or this problem that stood before David that was in his valley? I want you to notice here, this problem that stood before David, it was a large problem. Read with me in verse number 4 again. The Bible said, "And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and his staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, one bearing a shield went before him." I'm talking about, friend, this wasn't just some average Joe that was before David and the nation of Israel. Hey, but this problem that was before them, men, it was a very large problem. And I wonder today, man, what's in your valley? Could it be a very large problem? Sure you've faced some things in days gone by, but what is standing before you today, man, it is a monstrosity. It's a large problem. Can you imagine, man, being part of the nation of Israel, man, and been in many battles? I think about all the way back over there in the earlier books of the Bible and all of those battles that Joshua and those men had faced. But they'd never faced this Goliath. Could it be this morning the thing that's in your valley, man, it's a large thing? What's in your valley? Not only was it a large problem, but look with me down in verse number 9. The Bible said, this is Goliath speaking, he said, "If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." So we see here that this was a very large problem, but then Goliath says, "Now looky here, David, nation of Israel, if you can kill me, then my men will serve you." But this problem not only was a large problem, but it was a problem that was lying. We know from the end of this chapter that David goes on into victory, but those men didn't serve the nation of Israel. This Goliath was standing there and was straight up lying to the nation of Israel. And could it be this morning, I wonder, men, the thing that's in your valley right now, man, not only is it large, but it's lying to you. It's saying, man, you might as well not even try to deal with me. There's no way that you can overcome this obstacle in your life. It was lying. Look in verse number 16. The Bible said, "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. This problem was a lingering problem. Do you understand? The Bible said that it presented itself morning and evening. Not just in the morning. So as the nation of Israel would get up, man, and would begin to poke that fire from the night before, the first thing, listen at me now, the first thing that they had to deal with was that problem. So they started their day off with this monumental ordeal, friend. And the Bible said that it presented itself again in the evening. So do you understand this morning, men, that they woke up with the problem and they went to bed with the same problem? It was lingering. It never went away. Maybe around lunchtime, they got preoccupied with what was going on, and just for a space of time, that problem might have drifted away from their mind. But at the close of the day, it stuck its head right back up again, and it was lingering. I wonder this morning, is that thing in your valley, man, it just keeps sticking its head up? You'll try to deal with it and address it, but before you know it, man, after you thought you got rid of it, it sticks its head right back up again. It was lingering. But you don't have to turn there this morning, but back over in Joshua chapter number 11, let me read you this one verse right here. Joshua chapter number 11. The Bible said, y'all stay with me. Let me get over here to it. This problem, you understand, it wouldn't go away. And in Joshua chapter number 11, verse number 23, or in verse number 22, the Bible said there was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza and in Gath and in Ashdod there remained. So we remember there back in the book of Joshua how they had went into Canaan land and they had embarked in all those battles, and the Lord told them to destroy everything that come before them. You remember that. And by chapter number 11 there in the book of Joshua, man, those men, they were wore out and weary from the battle. I'd imagine many of them were standing around handed hips like a bunch of football players. Man, they were tired of fighting. And they get there in chapter number 11 and they get over there to Gath, and the Bible said that they let some of those men go. And so we see here that's where Goliath came from. We know that. So not only was it a lying problem, a lingering problem, but from our text in the book of Joshua, this was a problem that was left over. This was an issue, this was an ordeal, friend, that another generation should have took care of. But they said, man, I'm just tired of fighting. It'll be all right, let's just let this go. And I'll be honest with you, men, some of the things we're facing this morning is problems that are left over from another generation that men, I would imagine 20, 30 years ago, set in a fellowship banquet like this, man, and they were facing issues that they thought it'll be okay, let's just let it go. And we're facing things today that are left over that a man years ago should have dealt with. I wonder this morning, or is there something in your valley, man, that you should have dealt with months, years ago? And it's left over from another battle in your life that you just said, it'll be all right. That's what was taking place here in our text this morning. Goliath was a leftover battle from another generation. And I don't know where you're at this morning, men. But I would imagine, man, there's somebody in here today that would find yourself in the shoes of David. Man, you're in a valley, man, and there's something before you like you've never faced before. And I just want to mention three things quickly about having victory in a valley. Victory in a valley, friend. Man, as I start my Christian life 6 years ago, man, I've tried to purpose in my heart to observe how men address things and how men handle things. And as I step back, Brother Mike, and as I look around, Brother Jim, at how this generation's handling things, man, I see a lot of things that need to be dealt with, but they're left over, friend. And I see a lot of men that are ready to quit, they're ready to throw in the towel because they're in the valley and you're facing things you've never had to face before. But I've got news for you, friend. The same God of Genesis 1:1 is the same one we serve today, friend. If we've ever lived in an hour, my friend, we're some men of God. We're some daddies need to stand up and say, I'm not backing down. It's in this morning's hour. I'm talking about right now, friend. We need to find some victory in our valleys. Man, I'm tired of hearing those songs and those stories about how everybody's defeated. That's not the God I serve today. That's not the one that's changed my life, friend. Can I report to you today? We can still have victory in our valleys. Victories in our valleys. Man, I can't do it. But if I could, man, and pull those curtains back in your spiritual life. I wonder how many of us is in a valley this morning. Three things about how to have this victory. Look with me in verse number 40. The Bible said, and he took his staff, talking about David, in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, the sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. I see right here that David, man, he was committed to this opportunity that was before him. You see, I don't believe that David saw this necessarily as a
as an ordeal that was going to defeat him. But he saw this as an opportunity, friend, to prove that the God he served was alive. And I'm telling you this morning, man, it'd be a glad day in your life when you look back at the thing that's in your valley and say, you know what? This would be a good time for the God of heaven to show up in my life, friend, and get committed to that opportunity that's before you. Get committed. Brother Mark, I'm just going to steal some of your notes, amen? Hey, I'm talking about get committed, friend, to this opportunity. In verse number 40, I can't find where it said Saul. In that verse, I can't find where it says anything else about the nation of Israel. But look with me again. The Bible said, and he took David. This commitment, number one, was a personal commitment. Your wife can't get you committed, sir. Your kids can't make you get committed. It's going to be up to you, friend. It's a personal commitment. Are you committed this morning to that thing that's in your valley? I'm talking about, are you committed to say, man, I'm not turning around. I'm not going back up to the mountaintop. I'm not going to try to go around it. But I'm going to deal with this thing if I have to do it by myself until God intervenes and proves Himself in this opportunity. Personal. Not only did He do it personally, but back in verse number 42 or one, two verses ahead, the Bible said, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and a ruddy and fair countenance. Now here in verse number 42, old Goliath begins to mock David. He said, man, who in the world are you, you little old bitty thing? And then back earlier, you remember, old King Saul, man, said, you can't do this. But that wasn't the end of it. Earlier in our text, David's own brother said, man, why'd you come down here? I know your heart. You're just here wanting to see what's going on. But David was still committed, number one, personally, but he was committed through persecution. Don't sit there for one second, men, this morning and think just because you've stealed away for a weekend to a men's retreat that when you get committed to this thing that's in your valley that everything's just going to be all right. You're going to face persecution. You may face some kind of persecution from your own immediate family dealing with what's in your valley. David was persecuted because of his commitment to this. Men, when we load up this afternoon, all the dog boxes are closed, our archery equipment's put up, and we get in our trucks and we head back home, you better be prepared for some persecution if you're going to deal with that thing that's in your valley. Not only his persecution, but I believe he was committed, thirdly. Look with me in verse 34. The Bible said, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And the uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. He had commitment because of his past. You see, little did old brother David know that when he was over there doing what his daddy had told him to do, and his brothers had done advanced into that military, into that service. Man, I would imagine David going, man, why can't I go over there and be part of that? But it wasn't David's turn. It wasn't David's time. But while he was out there being obedient to what his daddy had have him do, God let him kill a lion and a bear. And you see, what David didn't understand at that point in his life and that point in his ministry was he was fixing to deliver a lamb at one point to prepare him to deliver a nation down the road for him. Hey, good news this morning, friend. Hey, we serve a God that knows how to do that kind of stuff. Whatever you're facing today, could it be that He's preparing you for something down the road? But David, he was committed because of what God had let him do in his past. Why don't you just take a moment this morning, men, and look back at, man, what God's let you do. Brother Mike, man, we was talking today this morning and all that stuff, man, the Lord's brought you from and the stuff you've seen God do between you and your wife. Man, that's unreal. But man, how is it oftentimes we get in a valley with a Goliath, man, and we forget about all that stuff? It totally leaves our mind. But man, I'm telling you this morning, if you're going to have victory in your valley, you better take a time out and look back at what God's done in your life. He was committed to the opportunity. Secondly, I believe that he had confidence in his opposition. Verse number 48, the Bible said, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and David drew nigh to meet, and he came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." He didn't walk. He didn't just leisurely make his way down there, but the Bible said that he ran. David had confidence. Man, where's our confidence at in 2016 in the things of God? Man, there's so much to be said right there. But I mean, there's so many men in our local Bible-believing churches that doubt the hand of God. They try to fix it, man, and put their money in it and put their ideas in it. Why don't we just let God do it? David, man, had confidence in God, friend, in the midst of this opposition. This opposition, it was an undesirable opposition. Man, he didn't want to have to deal with this. And that thing, man, that's off down in your valley this morning, man, it's undesirable. You don't want it there. I don't want it there. Your family probably doesn't even want it there. But it's there. It was undesirable. It was undeniable, man. There was no way, man, that you could say, "Oh, everything's all right right now. This really ain't happening." But in the midst of all of that opposition, that turmoil, that distress, David had confidence. The Bible said earlier in our text that the nation of Israel turned and fled. You understand that nobody else in our text this morning wanted to deal with this problem. But David stood up in a time where everybody else was going the other direction and said, "Man, we're going to have to do something about this. Man, can I say it's time? I don't have a family yet. But can I say right now it's time for men to stand up and say, hey, there's some things we need to deal with. In our churches, in our homes, in our own personal lives. Whether it's undesirable or not, it's time to deal with some things." Look with me in verse 33. The Bible said, "And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." David had confidence in an undesirable situation, in an undeniable situation. But in verse 33, this was an undefeated situation. The Bible said that Goliath was a man of war from his youth. He had never lost a battle. Could it be this morning the thing that's off down in your valley, man, you've never won a battle with it? Ever since it's shown up, man, it's been whooping you from day one. You've never got victory over it. Victory in the valley. I believe we're going to have victory in these valleys. I believe, lastly, this morning, I'll leave you with this. We need to be conscious of the outcome. I'm talking about we need to be aware that if we'll stand and fight and finish what's before us, there's an outcome. There's an outcome, men. Verse 50, the Bible said, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." You see, men, if you'll stand and fight what's in your valley and obtain that victory, there's an outcome. You see, the outcome here in our text was it affected the whole society around David. It affected the enemy because when the enemy saw that David had cut the head off of Goliath, the Bible said they turned and fled. But then look with me in the next verse. I think it's verse 52. The Bible said, "And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley. So we see the enemy turned and fled, but it brought revival to God's people. I'm talking about that outcome this morning, men. If you'll stand and fight that thing that's in your valley, there's an outcome that's going to affect the whole society around you. It could affect your family. It could affect your church. It could affect your community. But there's not going to be an outcome until you stand and get rid of that Goliath in your valley or whatever it is. It affected everyone around him. What about that, man? It affected everyone around him. Boys, if you're under 12 years old, I want you to come up here and stand in the front real quick. Sometimes it does good to just look around and see who's with us. You see, there's an outcome this morning, men, and it's bigger than you are. Because the Lord ain't come yet. He's coming, and we know that. But He hadn't come yet. And until He comes, man, somebody's got to carry on old-time religion. Somebody's got to carry on the church. You say, who is it? It's right there in front of you. And could it be this morning, man, that thing that's in your valley, not only is it affecting you, but it's affecting these men right here. This is the church right here, fellas. And you see, when you step back and say, man, I'm going to deal with this thing in my valley, I'm going to get rid of it. Not only does it help you, but it helps these young men right here. Thank you, boys. Y'all can sit down. So we see it affected everybody around, old brother David. But I believe it gave evidence to David for future things. The Bible said that he went over and cut the head off. He took the head into town, but he took the armor of Goliath, y'all know the story, and put it in his tent. That gave David evidence for future battles. You see, this wasn't going to be the last thing that Brother David had to deal with. He was going to need some evidence, man, down the road of what God had done yesterday. So David took that armor and hid it over there in his tent. So the next time a storm or a valley come into his life, man, he could say, the Lord done it then, He can do it now. Man, I'll tell you this morning, if you'll just deal with that thing that's in your valley, could it be that God will give you this for strength down the road? And then we know here in chapter number 18, the Bible said, and it came to pass that when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. David was elevated in his service. I'm not talking pridefully. But when David got rid of this Goliath in his valley, the Lord promoted him. And men, I don't strive to be a Jack Kyles. I look to those men. But I tell you this morning, the Lord knows my heart. Man, I want to be effective and I want to do something for God while we're here. But man, I found that sometimes when things get in my valley, until I get rid of that thing and deal with it, I can't be effective. What's in your valley this morning that's keeping you from being more effective? I don't know your hearts this morning. Simple thought. Fellas, I've been looking at it. I don't know, man, but I tell you, there's some things in our valleys that we need to get rid of. What's in yours this morning that you need to deal with so you can have victory in your valley? Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful this morning for the Word of God. I pray that, Lord, You'd use these scattered thoughts, Lord, to find a lodging place in the heart of these men. Lord, I pray for the one this morning that's bogged down and discouraged. And Lord, there's something in his valley that, Lord, has got him scared, terrified. Lord, he's got second thoughts of the power of God, the provision of God. I pray this morning that God, You'd let him deal with that thing. I pray that, Lord, You'd help him to address it and give him assurance
Let him be aware of the outcome, that if he'll deal with it, Lord, you'll help him down the road and, Lord, the ones around him. I pray that, Lord, this morning, God, supernaturally, you do a work in the heart of each and every person that's in this room. We love you and we thank you, Lord. We know that you help us through our valleys. And, Lord, I pray you do that to these men this morning. I pray this morning, God, if there's one of these young men that's never been saved, I pray, God, you'd convict and draw them to you before it's too late. Lord, I just ask you this morning to do a work in the heart of these men so that when they go back home, they're revived, they're rejuvenated, they're strengthened to face the things that are before us. We love you this morning. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.